decision, by the way.
Quiet him down.
On behalf of Senator Clark and I, we are very excited to begin what we think will be a very successful journey in the next month, coming up with an excellent E-12 education finance bill that will do a lot of good for the students all around the state of Minnesota in a fair and balanced way. And I have never yet chaired a conference committee. I've been on a few, and I haven't been on even one for the last 8 years. So this will be a very big learning experience. We're glad we have our very experienced staff here with us and all the education advocates all around the room. But I think in the end, everyone will benefit. And we're going to start. We have a short agenda here for today because this is our organizational meeting. We'll do introductions, and I'm going to go to Senator Clark next and go around this way, and then we will go to our staff that is on either side of us. And then we'll go through just a bit about the process and how generally Senator Clark and I have agreed that things will go in the next month. Then we're going to have our fiscal staff go through for the Senate and the House the spreadsheets. We don't yet have our what we call side-by-sides where we compare the actual details of the bill, but we think that's okay because this is kind of a big-picture meeting where we want to look at the big pieces of the bills. And so the staff will go through the big pieces that are in each bill and the differences in a macro way. And then we're going to take a short recess, about a half an hour, with the Senate conferees going to one room and the House conferees going to another. And each body will come up with a macro target request. And then we'll come back and publicly come to agreement on what our target request will be for the leadership. And then we'll expect Senator Clark to go and get us that target. And we think that we should be united in asking for our target and not have the usual Senate House bickering and bartering that goes on. And we also think having all the people that we have here around the table that we can accomplish that. And then we will adjourn the meeting, and I'll wait about the rest of what we'll do the rest of the week when we get to the process. But for now, I'll just start and say I'm Mindy Greiling, and I've been in the legislature for 15 years, and I had to wait all this time to even chair a committee this year and now to chair a conference committee. So I couldn't be more elated, and as a former teacher and school board member and PTA advocate, League of Women Voter advocate for education, this is right where I want to be.
Well, and I'm Terrell Clark, and I represent the St. Cloud area. I'm very excited about being here. And as I think everybody in this room knows, I was not expected to be here. And first and foremost, our thoughts and our prayers are with Senator Stumpf right now. We believe that he will have a speedy recovery, and he will be healthier than ever. And I'm sitting here at his request and intend to be working with Senator Greiling and the rest of you to have a fair, balanced bill that's going to benefit all of Minnesota. That's certainly what I think our goals are. We want to make sure that we are stabilizing funding and figure out how we really can be moving forward to be having a bright future for our kids. So that's know that I will be in contact with him when he can. He is going to be here. He's going to be an ex officio member because we certainly want to utilize his expertise. And we're very lucky and fortunate to have such great staff. So the reality is we believe we'll be able to just keep moving forward.
Start here. I'm Jen Olson, State Senator from District 33, and this is my 25th year in the Senate. And I've been involved in education and education finance all of those years after serving for close to 20 years in a career in public education. I'm delighted to be a part of meeting the challenges this year as well.
And I'm Kathy Saltzman. I'm in my fourth month of being a state senator, but I have been on the other side of this table for about 10 years working on behalf of school districts in the state. So I am honored to be here to represent the Senate on this committee. And I believe that if we can listen to what many of our constituents have brought to us and our school districts have brought to us and the major education groups on what we should be doing at this table, I think that will be very, very helpful. So I look forward to working with all of you. And I represent the Far East Metro area, those communities between the Wisconsin border and Senator Wieger's district.
I'm Sandy Rummel. I'm Senator from Senate District 53, which is White Bear Lake and Shoreview and North Oaks and Lena Lakes and some of those towns. I come from 9 years of being on the school board, so in many ways I feel that there's a part of my life that's still very close to the folks on the ground who have been living the struggles that we talk about at the table. So I feel privileged to be at this conversation so close to the service I previously had, and I look forward to the work we are about to do.
Hi, I'm Chuck Wieger. North St. Paul Maplewood Oakdale is my district. I'm in my 11th year. I chair the Ed Policy Committee. My other two assignments would be for higher ed and for the E-12 funding division. Look forward to the experience.
Hi. My name is Patricia Torres Ray, and I represent District 62, which is South Minneapolis, in the Senate. I am very grateful for the opportunity to be here with you, but I would like to clarify, especially for the audience, that I am not a voting member of this committee. And although I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be part of the conversation during the next 2 weeks, I probably will not be here because I am in the Environment Committee. So I'll do my best to keep up with you and read the information so that when I come back to be part of the conversation, I am informed of what's going on with the committee. So thank you.
I'm Representative Sandra Peterson. I represent New Hope, Crystal, and Plymouth, all of New Hope and parts of the other two. Lifelong career in education. From the Robbinsdale School District, and then an educational leader around the state, so I've had a statewide perspective on education, and I'm very pleased to be here. I am also a non-voting, so Senator Dolores Ray, we have the same situation, and so I'm here to be part of the committee, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be here.
I'm Representative Patty Fritz, and I come from Faribault, Minnesota. My district is District 26B. I have the Faribault area, and I go all the way down around Owatonna. I have 13 and a half townships there, and I end in Blooming Prairie, Minnesota, the home of the Blossoms. And I am delighted to be here. It's an honor for me to be on this committee. I've spent the 40 years in the nursing industry. However, I started 40 years ago with the Head Start program in Rice County and have had a passion for Head Start and early childhood all of my adult life. So thank you for the opportunity.
Hi, I'm Nora Slawick from 55B. I have Southern Maplewood and Oakdale. And I'm in the House. I'm the chair of the Early Childhood Learning Finance Committee. We're still learning our names of our committees over in the House because we're new, but thrilled to be here. And I think I see myself having a special role on the committee as working with early childhood. Our bill was merged into this bill. On the House floor, I said I felt like I was the youngest child, kind of small and feisty. And I think in this committee, that's kind of our role, is to watch out for early childhood and that part of the bill.
Thank you. I represent Bud Heidgerken, and I represent Lake Wobegon, where all the children are above average. And in case you don't remember where that is, but I represent 13 school districts, very, very, very rural, 26 towns, and I always tell everybody I represent more cows than I represent people. But it's good to see some former members. I was on the last conference committee when we had the long marathon session. I think we met 46 days, so I think Senator Olson was on there, and Senator Stump, and I think everybody else is new, so it'll be very interesting, and we think we have a very good bill, and I think the Senate has a good bill. I think we've got some good things in both bills to work on, and I hope we get a real good bill when we're done.
I'm Carlos Mariani Rosa, and I don't want to tell you what term I'm in because I've lost track. I've waited a long time to, Representative Gwiling, to chair a major committee, and I had the privilege, the honor to chair the Ed Policy Committee, so Senator Wigger's counterpart in the House. I also serve on the K-12 Finance Committee. My district is St. Paul. In fact, the capital is in the northern part of my district, so I see it every day in my daily walk. along the bluffs, and sometimes I walk over to the Capitol. Some of you know that I work, in addition, outside of here, I work with a nonprofit called the Minnesota Minority Education Partnership. And so education, educational equity issues are a strong passion and interest for me. I look forward to this conference committee, Madam Chairs. I agree with Representative Heigerich, and I think we have two outstanding bills, and I just can't imagine why we can't come out with a terrific bill at the end of it where we're able to do good work for the people of Minnesota. I also want to acknowledge very quickly that I think Senator Torres Reyes, we're making history here yet again. I believe this is the first time ever in our state's history that two Latinos have been on the same conference committee. So privilege to be here with you.
Thank you. Likewise. And the rest of us are privileged to be here with you. Now we're going to go to the staff. And we'll start with the staff that's right here at the table. And then we'll go to the House staff and then to the Senate staff. So, Mr. Strom, if you could start.
Madam Chair, thank you. I'm Tim Strom from House Research.
I'm Greg Crowe from the House Fiscal Analysis Department.
Madam Chair, I'm Eric Nauman with Senate Fiscal.
Madam Chair and members, I'm Shelby McQuay, Senate Council and Research.
Shannon, if you could start. They're not at the microphone, so I think we will just have to, people on the television won't be able to hear, but I think it's important that those of us in the room are at least able to know who all the people are, so if you can just quickly go around.
Sure. I'm Shannon Patrick. I'm the Committee Administrator for the House K-12 Finance Division.
I'm Basha Zaglika, and I intern for the Department of
Sarah Venskofer, I'm the Committee Administrator for the House Early Childhood Committee.
Carmen Carter, and I'm with GOP House Research.
Brad Kelly with House GFL Research.
What happened to the House page? I guess you're way in the back. Could you just tell people your name as well?
John Slater.
Thank you, John. So that is the full team here. And then, as I said, we have a lot of experts who know more than anybody around the table, at least as far as legislators, in the room with us. So I'm sure with everybody's help, they'll come out with a wonderful bill. The process is the next agenda item, and just briefly, we don't have a lot of process here, but we will be changing the gavel with each meeting, but we're not going to, Senator Clark and I have agreed, we're not going to have huge gaps, though, between meetings. We're not going to be refusing to meet. It's our full intention to meet, pretty much every day, as long as we have a good reason to meet and there isn't something major going on. On Friday, on the tax committee, or the tax bill will be up in the House floor, for instance, if all goes according to schedule. And so it's likely the House members will be tied up there and we will not be meeting on Friday. We may meet on Saturday, and it depends on if we have a target or not. If we have a target, then we need to get right down to work. If we don't have a target, then you can know that we will not be meeting on Saturday. We'll wait until Monday, because a lot of what we have to do here, how much we go on and on about things, if we don't have the target to do it, it's useless, and we don't want to just spin our wheels. So we'll know that we're supposed to have the target on Friday, and that's our full hope that we do. But we don't know that yet, so we'll just have to hang tight, and Senator Clark and I will be announcing from the Senate and House floor, and of course with the usual notice as we go forward. Okay, we're now down to the spreadsheet discussion, and I'm sure most people here know, but for the viewing audience, since the bill that we're doing is House File 6, then I'm starting out with the gavel, because the House file bills start out with the House chairing the conference committee, and then some of the bills are Senate files, then those senators start out cha- chairing the meeting, and then we rotate after that. So that's the only reason I started first, was because it's a House file. And so we'll start with the House staff going over the target or the spreadsheets, and then we'll go to the Senate staff. So, Mr. Crow. We don't want a lot of detail. When we get the side-by-sides from the revisor's office and we go through that in more detail, then at that meeting we'll go through the spreadsheet in its entirety and look at everything. And I think we can keep it in mind better if we have the side-by-sides and the actual bill language. So we don't want to get into the quagmire of little tiny bills at this moment. We're thinking more along the lines that Senator Clark and I discussed, having it be like the differences in the proposals for the formula, for special education, for early childhood and all-day kindergarten, which we're thinking of as, you know, one big topic, and we have to work out the details, and, you know, innovation and reform. Sometimes we want to come out with something global. Those would be perfect topics.
Madam Chair, I'm not sure.
Senator Clark.
When you'll want us to talk a little bit about this, but at some point it might be helpful for us to talk briefly about kind of the approaches that we took, because it's going to become pretty obvious when you go through the spreadsheet that the Senate in large part was working on funding stability and only in a separate bill has new investment. And so somewhere along the way, when you're ready to, we can talk a little bit about that as well, but just so that the members are mindful of that as Mr. Crow goes through the bill.
That's a very good point, Senator Clark. And maybe before your staff goes through the spreadsheet, you could kind of tee that
sounds
up for
good.
Us. So thank you. Mr. Crow.
Madam Chair and members, if you look at the spreadsheet, it should be dated 4/24/07, 9:25 a.m. in the upper left-hand corner. Mm-hmm. And says Education Finance Committee's appropriation tracking. This includes House File 6, which includes the early childhood bills. Representative Slawick noted that was incorporated into the K-12 bill, and it also includes compares with Senate File 2095 and portions of Senate File 1611. Maybe if you want to start with the really big picture, if you go to page 4, page numbers didn't copy, but if you go to line 290 on the spreadsheet, you get a sense of magnitude of the amount of money that's in both bills. One note on this, the Senate bill has a fiscal 2007 appropriation for special education, and that change is incorporated in fiscal 2008 on this spreadsheet just for tracking and comparison purposes. So if you look at line 290, you look at the fourth small column from the left that says difference House minus base, you see that the House bill has $944,541,000 over the base incorporated into this proposal. Now, if you move over to the right-hand side group of columns, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 from the right, different Senate minus base for 08-09, you see the Senate bill has $935,705,000. In both of those bills we talked about. So you can see that on a big picture, the difference between the House and Senate bills in terms of dollars over base is $8,800,000, which is a pretty insignificant number in terms of total magnitude of the education finance budget. So when you're talking about relative magnitude of the bills, they're basically the same amount of money over base. Obviously, they're allocated differently, and we can talk big picture about that. I would point you to a couple places to see kind of big picture what the differences are between the bills. Representative Greiling mentioned the formula increase. So if you go back to the first page, the House bill you see at the top of the page has 3% and 3% added to the formula. If you look under the Senate columns, fiscal 2008 and 2009, you see 2% per year added to the formula. And that's shown on line 8. On line 14, you see the actual cost of that change. And in the House bill, it's about $440 million. In the Senate bill, about $290 million. One thing I'd just point you to then is as you think about that, and I guess I'll note on line 17 is where the House has its all-day kindergarten funding of $95 million. But kind of big picture, if you look at line 44, you see that the House in general education spends about a little over $709 million, where the Senate bill spends about $305 million. And the difference between the House and the Senate in general education is that the Senate bill is $400 million below the House bill in general education, which is primarily the formula. There's some tax relief in both bills in this area. There's some savings in the Senate bill. And then there's other general ed, about $40 million of other general education increases in the House bill in limited English proficiency in extended time. Now, just for context, remember that $404 million, and I'd ask you to flip to the third page, line 134. Line 134 is the subtotal of the special education article. And on that line, you see that the House has added $106 million to special education. If you again go to the right, just past Senate 08 and 09, you see that the Senate has added $510 million to special education. And this, again, includes the 07 number. But note that the difference between the Senate and the House bill in special education is $404 million. So basically, kind of in the biggest, you know, kind of subtotal picture, that's where the main difference between the two bills is in the $400 million in the Senate bill and the special education and the $400 million additional over the Senate bill that the House puts in general education. And then if you would turn then to the next, to two pages later, I'll just give you, if you look on line 280, that summarizes the changes in the early childhood area. You can see the House bill has about $25 million, $24,848 over the base in early childhood, and the Senate has just a little over $59 million, around $60 million of additional funding in the early childhood area, so about twice as much. And there are obviously other differences, but from the big picture standpoint, I think that highlights most of the difference between the two bills.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Crow. And Senator Clark, you wanted to kind of set up the stage for the Senate's process before we go to your fiscal staff.
Yes, I think it just might be helpful, particularly for House members who haven't been watching us. You know, we heard from a lot of teachers and parents and administrators and others. And what we were hearing most of all from people was the importance of stabilizing funding. And if you think about it, 4 years ago, we ended up putting caps on the special ed, the portion of the state funding on special ed. And in hearing from people, we'll get a chance to talk more about this over the next couple days, so I won't go into that too long, but that what we were really hearing is that schools need stable funding, and that before we could get to anything new, anything different, that's what needed to be fixed. You know, the kind of that leak just really needed to be fixed. So we focused on that, which, as you could tell, as Mr. Crow showed, is a rather large number, but it keeps growing. And our concern was if we don't start addressing this, that we are going to really have a crisis there. So we were trying to focus on the commitments and stop having our districts try to figure out how to be paying for that with other money. We also were trying to be making sure that we were focusing on minimizing the effects of the valuation growth in the K-12 formula, and that's where we'll get to talking more about the consolidated levy. So that's where we started from. The target that we were given was basically, if we had been given all of the committees, had roughly inflation to work with. Got a little lucky in the E-12 area. We were given $500 million, which was more than other committees have been given. But that made it really hard to fix that problem. That's essentially what we did. So our approach was, let's fix this problem, let's renew our commitment so that we are dealing with a rather significant issue for our districts and for our students, stabilize the funding. Then separately, I mean, as you noted on your tracking sheet, we had a separate bill that looked at what we could do if we had new investment. And with new investment, we believed it was very important because if we fix this problem, we were not going to be putting even inflation back in into the formula. And that was a real concern. So the other bill deals with investments in early childhood to try to close that achievement gap, and it deals with the formula funding and then some higher ed things that aren't here. So when we go through our spreadsheet, and this is a little different than often happens because we like having the same spreadsheet, the reality of what we bring to this table at this time is that bill, our first bill, our base bill. And I think we share a goal of wanting to stabilize funding as we move forward, and at the same time recognize that without new resources, our schools really can't do the things they need to do. So Mr. Nauman, do you want to?
Mr. Nauman.
Okay.
Madam Chair and members, Mr. Crow did a more than adequate job of discussing at sort of the 50,000-foot level the differences between the two bills, and I think that most of what I would add at this point would simply be redundant, except to reiterate that the Senate has brought Senate File 2095 to this conference committee and not Senate File 1611, so the Senate tracking is going to show a target of $498 million, which is what we spent in Senate File 2095, and not the higher number that Mr. Crow spoke to. That's the only add-on that I would feel is necessary at this point. Oops.
Thank you, Mr. Nauman. And Mr. Crow has done us up a comparison that we can use that kind of summarizes some of the main points that we just talked about, and that Mr. Crow and Mr. Nauman have taken us through. And if all the members could bring this with you when we now take a recess, and we're going to go and divide up into Senate and House teams and see who can come back with the best target. And then we will then we'll come to hopefully consensus before the end of the meeting, and then we will ask our respective leaderships as they're working together to give us what we need to come up with a win-win, and because we really need to come up with a win-win in this area if we're going to be able to deliver for the students of Minnesota. So I think we have all the information we could need, and the Senate is going to your office, Senator Clark?
208,
and Senator Clark has made arrangements for the House members to go to Senator Stump's office. And what, do we know what number that is?
You just come up with us, and you go to one room, and let you go into the other.
We're going
to
follow you, because we're House members, and we don't know. But right now, we're in recess.
So we go to one
room. Go to Terrell's.
I'll go get him.